Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, big time, we're seeing huge pieces of concrete coming off of our institutions right now, crashing all around us. And a couple of dads in studio just trying to keep a few pieces together and reestablish some kind of a semblance of an integrated family in the 21st century. And it's hard to do because, folks, we live in this society. 40% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. Half marriages end in divorce. And, of course, this is the dream. This is the vision of Marx, Rousseau, and Plato. This is finally what they've been working at for 3,000 years, and they have accomplished it. Marx said, abolish the family. Replace home education, family education, with social education. That's what he wrote in the Communist Manifesto in the 1840s, and that's what they got. And for the first time in probably all of human history, certainly in our history, the nuclear family now makes up less than half of American households. That's what's happening, folks. Just wake up and smell the destruction of the family. It's happening all around us. And, of course, the last 40 years has really been when it has taken shape and form. That's right. The destruction of the family has happened in my lifetime since I was born in 1964. So this is it. This is what, if you want to look at a destructive society, a society in destruction, a society that's falling apart at the seams, family institutions collapsing on itself, it has happened in our lifetime. It has happened during the broadcast of programs like Focus on the Family and the Generations Radio broadcast. We have chronicled ourselves the decline and the breakdown of the family. That I think, is our purpose. We are here to talk about the destruction of the family. Okay, a few families have been salvaged, but not many. Not many. It's wholesale disaster out there. Wholesale disaster. And it's only going to get 7 times worse in the next 20 years. That, according to my calculations, because 40% of little boys and little girls are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. The problem will be 7 times worse in their generation. 7 times worse in their generation. Before we see any kind of improvement at all. Now, the birth rates imploding will maybe eliminate large portions of the populations, and that's going to happen. And then we may, after that, be able to recover again a generational vision of renewal of the family, a renewal of family relationships, father-son relationships, father-daughter relationships. But for now, you're going to see the utter destruction of the family. Now, on that note, there's an interesting survey that has been publicized by the American Thinker, and the survey was done by the Department of Health and Human Services. It's called the Fourth National Incident Study of Child Abuse and Neglect. Again, performed by the Department of Health and Human Services, so I guess we got to believe it. This is a government study, Dave, and it pretty much certifies everything we have ever said. Now, of course, the Margaret Sangers of the world and the Rousseaus of the world and the Betty Friedans of the world are ecstatic about what's happened. They wanted this. This is their vision. This was their dream. And it was bought wholesale by Christians and non-Christians alike. Folks, this study performed by the Department of Health and Human Services in the United States, it looks at the incidence of child physical abuse, child sexual abuse, and child emotional abuse among various households. Households that still retain the nuclear family, where you have married biological parents. Then you have households where they're divorced parents. Then you have households of unmarried parents. Single parents with partners. Single parents, no partner. And then children who are raised in foster homes. So they look at the incidence of abuse in these particular situations. And guess what?
The study discovered that children with biological parents resemble their parents.
It's amazing. They discovered that children raised in homes with both biological parents are very unlikely to be abused. And people who live in the shack-up situation will abuse children 10 times to 20 times more often than children raised in homes where the two biological parents are raising those children together as God designed them to do so. Folks, but again, let me say, this is the Rousseauian dream. This is what Margaret Sanger wanted. This is what the universities wanted. This is what Christian feminists want. They want a disintegrated family, where that woman feels like she's that existentialistic, independent woman in that home, and there is no oikonomia, there is no sense of unity in that home. They love that. That's the way they train their daughters, to be independent, to be divorced, to be segregated from the home. And, of course, the shack-up rate is through the ceiling in a situation like this. And, Dave, people aren't getting married hardly at all. We've been talking to neighbors recently and finding out that most of our neighbors have children in their 30s, and they're not married. They're not. And I'm not saying in those situations they're shacking up, but you know the shack-up rate is through the ceiling right now, creating an environment for massive child sexual abuse and physical abuse and emotional abuse. Dave, again, here's the data, and this is the fourth study done by the Department of Health and Human Services on the incidence of harm standard abuse by family structure and living arrangement. I mean, here it is, folks. Now listen carefully. Children raised in a home where there is a single parent with a partner are 10 times more likely to be physically abused, 20 times more likely to be sexually abused, and 10 times more likely to be emotionally abused. This is the world that is promoted every day by our media. They love this stuff. They love the fact that children are abused because they want those children living in homes where the shack-up rate is through the ceiling. They love it. This is what they have been promoting for 20 to 30 to 40 years. This is what our colleges are promoting. This is what the free sex standard of the universities and Planned Parenthoods promote and have been promoting for decades. They love this stuff. This is their world, but it's not ours. Why? Because we believe that God is really smart. We believe that God has established a man and a woman to be a home. And what God has put together in that home, let no man separate. And God condemns fornication. And God condemns adultery. And God condemns homosexuality. God has established a social system that works. Because He's just that smart.
Kevin, this study only applies to the children who survived birth. I think if you were to add in the number of children who are abused, murdered by abortion, you know, I think if you were to go and find out all of the children who were aborted, who were murdered in the womb, and then graph that to how many had two biological parents, and how many were parents who weren't married, maybe just living together, maybe cohabitating, I think the statistics would be tilted even worse. A society where marriage has broken down is a society that abuses children. It's a society doesn't love children because children are in the way of that free sex. Because now you got a child to take care of and put to bed and so forth. We've known for a long time. Studies have shown that economically, men and women are both better off if they are married. If they stay married economically, health-wise, and in so many other ways, they're better. It's weird that we need all these studies to find out that what everyone already knew.
Ladies and gentlemen, the problems in our society are colossal. Humongous. Out of control. And it's happening throughout social systems in every state across this country. And it's affecting a lot of Christian families. I'm talking about homeschool families. It's impossible to separate ourselves entirely from these social constructs. So it's time for us to do something about it. Now, a lot of people are saying we have lost the cultural war. It is done. Put a fork in it. It's over. We've lost. The Christians have lost. The churches have lost. It's time to throw up the white flag. It's over. Well, James Dobson is no longer part of Focus on the Family as of a few weeks from now. Apparently, he's been somewhat dismissed. He's starting his own radio program because Dr. Dobson is still concerned, really concerned. He's vehemently concerned about what's going on with the culture war. Brandon House just wrote a recent article called We've Lost the Culture War. And I'm going to interact with some of these ideas because as a bunch of losers coming together and commiserating, it's time for a little group therapy. What happened? How do we lose the cultural war? And people are asking these questions. It's an important question. Because if you're the losers and you're sitting there and you've got bombed out villages and bombed out families everywhere and it's time to repair society and start rebuilding the foundations of society, we've got to ask ourselves, where did we go wrong? How did we lose the culture war? I'm going to talk about that next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother, and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on, practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now. Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Amazing statistics here from the Department of Health and Human Services. Guess what? It helps if kids are raised by biological married parents. You know, it turns out God's system really does work. Married parents love their children. And marriage actually does work. That's an obvious one, Dave.
This is brought to you by Captain Obvious, fighting truth, justice, and the American way for, 40 years now.
You know, at some point they're going to have to dismiss child abuse as a problem. I think that's what's coming next. They have to. I mean, if at some point, Dave, these guys who are running the systems are going to have to say child abuse is all part of the vision here.
Well, I think that's what they do in schools, isn't it? Don't they abuse children?
Yeah, and of course, there's some forms of abuse, I guess, are still illegal, at least for now. And they're doing a lot of that in the schools if you bother to read the headlines. It's actually rather discouraging to see headlines every day. Principal abuses this kid, teacher abuses that kid every other day. But anyway, folks, that's not our worldview. That's the other worldview. And we're trying to salvage Western civilization. We want to salvage some level of culture for our children. And James Dobson, that's been his vision for a long time. But now he's venturing out on his own, according to this article that I picked off the internet just a few hours ago. Last February, it was announced that James Dobson is stepping down from his position as chairman to focus on the family. Following the announcement, we started seeing lots of articles claiming Dobson had conceded the culture wars, was throwing in the towel, a claim which Dobson vigorously disputed, saying that even though he was stepping down as chairman, he would maintain his presence as the voice to focus on the family's flagship radio program and continue to speak out on moral and political issues. But in October, it was announced that Dobson would be leaving the Focus radio program in February. As Dobson made clear, the decision to leave was not his, but came to him from the board of directors, which Dobson only accepted because God told him that he had bigger plans in mind. Dobson has always been a bit of a maverick, Dave, and I've liked James Dobson a lot. I think he's always been one of the primary cultural warriors out there for the cause of the biblical family. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but boy, he has been a man who was willing to stand for life. There are points at which he encouraged people not to vote for a presidential Republican candidate that wanted to kill babies conceived in rape and incest, for example. And I thought that was admirable. He said things that made a lot of the other people, I think, in the organization a little uncomfortable, but he was willing to say it. He never, ever compromised his conscience on that radio show, as far as I could tell. And I've met him several times, and I think he's a man of tremendous character and principle. And I appreciate Dr. James Dobson. And here he writes, apparently this is on his blog, this is Dobson writing, the institution of the family continues to be in a deplorable condition. The children are growing up in a culture that often twists and warps their young minds. Furthermore, our nation is facing a crisis that threatens its very existence. We are in a moral decline of shocking dimensions. I've asked myself how I can sit and watch the world go by without trying to help if I can. That is what motivates me at this time. It's not fame or fortune that drives this new effort. I will not take a salary from the ministry. I have had more than my share of fame. My purpose is much like it has been for years when I made the most dramatic career move of my life, transitioning from a coveted professional position in academia to a lowly little Christian radio program heard once a week on 34 stations. And he says he's doing the same thing now with the JCD Family Forum, including his son in the effort. I thought that was really a neat approach to his generation's radio broadcast. He's bringing Ryan in on the radio program, and he's going to try to get the word around one more time. The guy's not giving up. And I appreciate that about Dr. Dobson.
Yeah, you got to appreciate that about Dr. Dobson. He doesn't give up. He speaks his mind. He speaks his conscience, and he always has. And he has rightly identified, I think, which is the core problem in our culture, which is the destruction of the family. You can talk about politics all you want, and you can talk about how bad the homosexuals are and abortion are, but the crux of it, the building block of society, is families. And nowhere is the family in as big a shambles as it is in the church. So I think, you know, he's identified the problem. Unfortunately, the problem's probably a lot bigger than James Dobson or you and I.
Well, folks, I want to bring in some other friends in this culture war, and we're engaging it all over the place. Our radio program's been at it for 7 years. Dobson's been at it since the late 70s. And by the way, James Dobson was one of the primary motivating factors behind the establishment of the modern homeschool movement. And we want to give him credit for that back in the early 1980s. So Dobson has done a lot of good things over the years that I do appreciate very much. Brandon House is another guy's got a Worldview program that I appreciate. I've been on his program before. He does these Worldview weekends that are very helpful. He just came out with a new article called We've Lost the Culture War. We've lost it. He says, I wish I could tell you otherwise and go happily along the way with many Christians who still think we can recapture America, return to our moral and spiritual roots, revitalize our wayward institutions, but I can't. And someone needs to tell you loud and clear, we are not going to reclaim the culture in America and return to the days of June and Ward Cleaver. We won't see a majority of officials in legislative and judicial branches of our government go back to the original intent of America's founding fathers as reflecting the U.S. Constitution, other original documents. We are not going to witness prayer, Bible reading, posting the Ten Commandments in public schools again. There will be no drastic decline in divorce, sexually transmitted diseases, abortion, homosexual marriage, on and on and on and on. He says, I'm not advocating that Christians retreat from the culture. We must proclaim Christian values based on Scripture regardless of persecution, despite knowing that America has passed the point of no return morally, etc., etc. But I'm just telling you guys, we have lost the culture of war. And I personally, Dave, I think this is a pretty depressing article. and he puts it at the feet of the churches. He says, most evangelical Christians are just as clueless as their non-believing fellow citizens as to what's happening. For the most part, the church has contributed to the loss of the culture war by surrendering, often in ignorance, to the agendas arrayed against it. And I'm wondering sometimes if he might be surrendering a little bit in his language here. But he does place it at the feet of the church, and we have done that before. Why are we losing the culture war? We're past the denial stage. It's time for us to get together for a little group therapy here. Brandon House, Dr. Dobson, Kevin Swanson, and we got to figure out, I think, what the foundational problems are. And the tension here that I think Brandon House is dealing with is, do we separate entirely and be Amish and try to develop some kind of a worldview and culture, which is effectively the externalization of your worldview for our own little community, and let the rest of America or the rest of the world go to hell? Or do we still reach out and retain some kind of a
Puritan approach to society? Is it separatistic, or is it Puritan in terms of how we interact with society around us? And I have advocated both positions on this program. I think that we do separate to some extent so that the salt can retain its savor, but we've got to get back into the culture and affect the culture and be the salt, yeast, and light that God wants us to be in the culture around us.
But if you think you haven't won the culture war because some group of people in New York aren't doing what you think they ought to be doing, maybe you're fighting the wrong war. The war is really the war for your family, for your children, for your culture and your home and your church. If you are losing that war, then you can win that war. But if you think you can force a culture on people in Los Angeles or in Hollywood, well, maybe you're fighting the wrong thing. Start at home. Start small. Start at your church.
And that's effectively what he does in this article, which is good. And that's what we've been advocating as well. Brandon House says, above all, we need parents to train and prepare their children for these increasingly perilous times. And he says, got to happen, line upon line, precept upon precept. And he's right. He says it gets back to education. Humanist educator Charles Francis Potter's book, Humanism, A New Religion, understood the prospects for equipping the students to know what they believe and why they believe it. And he quotes Potter, and this is a famous quote. I think I've used it once or twice on the program. Education is the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a five-day program of humanistic teaching? And, boy, I couldn't say it any better than Potter does in his book on humanism. He's right. Once you purge God out and you say, God is not the source of history, God is not the source of science, God is not the source and origins of the creation around you, once you can do that and you can get that into the books, and those kids understand, man is in control of his own future. Man is the source of his own ethics. Those kids understand. They've been taught it for 18 years in those public schools. And this really is the source, I think, Dave. The foundational issue really comes down to how we educate our children in a practical way. It turns out you cannot separate faith from works. You can't separate faith from repentance. And by the way, you've got to repent of something. And it turns out you've got to repent of sin. And sin is defined by the law of God, because the law of God establishes our ethics and establishes what is right and wrong, and so therefore we better go back to the law of God. And by the way, if you love him, you got to keep his commandments. And if you're going to have to learn his commandments, you're just going to have to pick up a little bit on what God establishes as ethically right, ethically wrong. So again, Dave, I think evangelicalism is utterly dead because it ignores the law of God. It separates grace and law, Old Testament, New Testament, faith and repentance. And for that reason, those doctrinal reasons, those theological reasons, we saw the complete unraveling of the Christian faith among evangelical Protestants. Certainly it has happened among Catholics too, but evangelical Protestants basically lost a decent theology that would have provided a good faith, a faith that would have probably got them saved and then gotten them living the life of faith.
Well, I think as you talk about culture, you talk about church, there has been a moving away in the sermons and in the worship of the people of God from God being central and God being ultimate to where man is ultimate. And we worship God, not according to how God tells us to worship, but how we want to worship. We sing songs that are easy and that appeal to us. We preach sermons that are all about me or what I'm doing or what's best for me, and rather than about the glory of God. And so we've adopted humanism, the exaltation of the human condition, the exaltation of human achievement in our decisions. We decide now to become Christians, and we decide to persevere. And this idea that man, not God, is the force behind our Christianity, behind our worship, the end of our worship. We see this over and over again in so many different ways that We've lost the culture war because it's become humanist.
When we talk about the family, and the family's important, and we commend Dr. Dobson for going to the family and saying, if we can't reconstruct the basic social unit, forget politics, forget everything else. And Dave, I think the problem that I run into, though, with a lot of our pro-family efforts that we have exerted for the last 20 to 30 years, as we have seen these nuclear bombs go off in our cities and our families and our churches, is that we're bringing a bunch of Band-Aids to the fallout. You know, we got our little boxes of Band-Aids. Here we are. Realize a nuclear bomb has gone off in the family. Let me put a Band-Aid on you. Let me put another Band-Aid on you. And everybody's sucking in radioactive waste and all this. And don't worry, the Band-Aid will take care of it. The Band-Aid will take care of it. And Dave, I think what happened with our pro-family programs is we started talking about self-esteem, and that was kind of the most important thing. They had a little five-minute conversation with your daughter here and there. We didn't realize that we had to do some pretty massive changes to the family if we were going to reconstruct the family at a time where a nuclear bomb had hit the family. In other words, we have to go to more fundamental issues. We have to tell our daughters, you can't be raised with an independent mindset. So when you get married at 38 years old, you wind up, you know, with this kind of a divorce mentality. You can't be in these dating relationships where you're preparing for a divorce. You've got to think more in terms of courtship. We couldn't go at marriage with this independent mindset and this fragmented sense of economics. We had to redo the entire way we did education. We had to reintegrate the family into education, big time. In the form of home education, we had to reintegrate the family into economics in order to resalvage the integrity and the solidarity of the family in the 21st century. And these are radical concepts that I think programs like Focus on the Family had a hard time addressing. We just have to become more radical, and I think this is where Dr. Dobson is headed.
I hope so. I hope he's heading that way. You know, you talk about the radical changes we have to make. We have to take a full frontal assault on feminism. Feminism is destroying the culture, utterly destroying the family, which is destroying the culture. We have to get back to a biblical idea of what a woman is and what femininity is and what a husband and a wife are and why a husband and a wife. You know, it's to give God glory. If we're afraid to go to the heart issue, to the end issue, the end game, what is the purpose? We have no hope. All we're going to do is maybe have a nice little program about have a little sweet time before bed with your daughter. Okay, that's nice. That won't change culture. That simply won't change culture. We have to get in alignment with what God's Word and what God requires through His Word of us in our particular roles. And we're going to have to take on those unpopular things. Jesus Himself is a stumbling block. They thought so highly of His message they killed Him. A few of us may have to die in the process, too.
Now, all of this is an important part of a biblical social construct. And unless we bring the whole construct to bear, unless we have really healthy churches and really healthy reintegrated family structures, I don't think we're going to see a reconstruction of society at any level. But that, of course, is what we're trying to communicate on this radio program by talking about these very important structures in life. I hope this has been helpful to you as we try to reconstruct society and hopefully win a piece of the culture war. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com, and you can watch it now at thehomeschoolchannel.tv, sponsored by the American Family Association. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.